Welcome to the CDH Conversations podcast, where I will be speaking on taxation of financial derivatives in Kenya. My name is Alex Kanyi, a partner at CDH Kenya in the Tax and Exchange Control Department. Joining me today is Martha Mbogwa, a partner as well in the Corporate and Commercial Department. Welcome, Martha.
Thanks, Alex.
So, on the 19th of January, the Cabinet Secretary for the National Treasury and Economic Planning made the Income Tax Financial Derivatives Regulations 2023. The regulations are intended to provide a taxation framework for gains made from financial derivatives in Kenya. With this introduction of the regulations, multiple questions have arisen regarding the nature of financial derivatives that befall the taxman's scope. Examples include, what are derivative contracts? What are the various types of derivative contracts? What are the uses of derivative contracts? How are derivative contracts taxed? And when did this taxation commence? And what is the scope of gains from financial derivatives that will be subject to tax? With today's discussion, we intend to provide some clarity on the taxation of gains from financial derivatives in Kenya and the implications to taxpayers. So this brings to mind a question to you, Martha. What are financial derivatives and what are the various types of derivative contracts?
Thanks, Alex. A financial derivative is an instrument, the value of which is derived or reliant on the value of an underlying asset, which is to be settled usually at a future date. So for instance, a commodity, a bond, or an equity, an interest rate, a market index, or currency, amongst others. This definition has been adopted in local laws like the Capital Markets Act and the Income Tax Act. In terms of the types of financial derivatives, these include forward contracts, option contracts, futures contracts, or swaps. Just to give you a highlight, a forward contract is a customized over-the-counter traded financial derivative that provides for the purchase or sale of an underlying asset whose delivery or settlement is to be made at a future date at a price that is agreed when the contract is entered into. An options contract, on the other hand, is one that offers the holder the right, but not the obligation, to buy or sell the underlying asset or security at a specified price on or before the expiry date. Option contracts can be call options or a put option. Then there's futures contracts. This is a standardized agreement traded in a recognized exchange market for the acquisition or disposal of an underlying asset. The difference between a futures contract and a forward contract is that futures tend to be standardized, so the contract values are defined in units, and this is why they are traded in an exchange. But for forward contracts, they usually are privately negotiated, and they're not standardized, so they are commonly traded over the counter. Then the last example I've given is a swaps contract. This is a financial instrument where two parties agree to exchange the cash flows from two different financial instruments. And the main forms of swaps contracts are currency swaps and interest rate swaps. So quite a number of examples there, Alex. I hope that answers your question.
Well, thank you, Martha, for providing us with an insightful definition of the meaning and scope of financial derivatives. And perhaps another question that comes up is, how are these financial derivative contracts used?
So the main uses are about three or four reasons. They are used for risk management, for speculation, to enhance liquidity, or for price discovery. And I'll start with the first one. Under risk management, due to uncertainty of stock and commodity prices, you'll find that financial derivatives are used to protect against fluctuations in price by locking in a buy or sell and agreeing a fixed price. Then under speculation, they might help with changes in stock and commodity prices to speculate where they would buy an asset. So an individual would buy an asset at a low price, expecting the price to rise, or they would sell it at a high price with the expectation that the prices may drop at a future date, and they can then buy what they sold at a cheaper price. The other reason is to enhance liquidity. They provide an alternative investment for those who are more risk adverse to fluctuation in the market, and therefore they increase liquidity in the market. And finally, for price discovery, they allow for price discovery where individuals with better information and judgment on the movement of prices are able to take positions in the market. So those are the main reasons for their use. I think I'll now ask you the questions, Alex. So bearing in mind the contemporary nature of financial derivatives in Kenya, and the main purpose for this podcast is how are gains from those financial derivatives taxed in Kenya, and when did taxation of financial derivatives commence?
Thank you, Martha, for that question. Just by a bit of a background, so the Finance Act of 2022 in Kenya amended the Income Tax Act by introducing taxation on financial derivatives. So the financial derivatives that are subject to tax now in Kenya have been defined under the Income Tax Regulations 2023, and how they'll be taxed, that has also been defined under those regulations. The guys who are targeted by this particular tax are the non-residents, and the rate for taxing financial derivatives is actually 15% on the gains that have been made. This commenced in January 2023, just a few months ago, and the tax is payable or is due by the 20th day of the month. If a resident person makes a loss out of the transaction, then it is assumed that a non-resident person has made a gain. And it is this gain that then the Kenya Revenue Authority is going after to tax at the rate of 15%.
Okay, very interesting. What is the scope of gains from financial derivatives that will be subject to tax? And do you think that such gains should be taxed? And do you know what's happening in other jurisdictions?
Well, the recent income tax financial derivatives regulations are such that any realized gain to a non-resident person being a realized loss to the non-resident who is a party to a financial derivative contract is what is chargeable to the tax. And then unless you are exempted under the Income Tax Act, the financial derivatives contract subject to income tax includes the futures contract, including interest rate futures, stock index futures, volatility futures, weather futures, or a similar futures contract, whether cash settled or not. The other aspect that is also subject to this tax is a forward contract, whether cash is settled or not. The next one is a swap contract, including a contract for interest rate swap, currency swap, credit default swap, and hybrid swap. An options contract is also targeted, including put options, call options, and options spread, and finally, any other form of financial derivative instrument. So the mode of taxation of gains on financial derivatives vary in different jurisdictions. As an example, in the UK, derivatives held by companies are taxed under the Corporation Tax Act of 2009. Although most derivative contracts are taxed in accordance with that act, there are exclusions from taxable derivative contracts. For instance, a relevant contract is not a derivative contract if its underlying subject matter consists wholly of excluded property, and excluded property would mean things like intangible fixed assets. So Kenya can adopt this approach by further refining the scope of underlying assets that qualify as derivative contracts for taxation purposes.
Good. Thanks, Alex. You've mentioned that these regulations are targeting non-resident persons. Does our tax law define resident and non-resident person?
Yes, our tax law actually defines who is resident, and therefore you can be able to tell who is non-resident. So when you look at the definition of who is resident, when you look at an individual, it means that that person has a permanent home in Kenya and was present in Kenya for any period in any particular year of income under consideration, or he has no permanent home in Kenya, but is present in Kenya for a period or periods amounting in the aggregate to 183 days or more in that year of income, or is present in Kenya in that year of income and in each of the two preceding years of income for periods averaging more than 122 days in each year of income. So this is the definition of who is considered a resident from an individual perspective. So by exclusion, then you're able to tell who is a non-resident if they don't meet these residency rules. When you look at a body corporate, it means that the body is a company incorporated under a law in Kenya, or that the management and control of affairs of the body was exercised in Kenya. So here again, we are trying to define a resident company, a resident corporate body. So when you look at that definition, then you're able to tell who is then a non-resident. So you could be non-resident because then you haven't set up a company in Kenya, or your management and control of your affairs as a company is that is not being exercised in Kenya. And for that reason, then you are a non-resident. But the Cabinet Secretary, National Treasury, also has powers to declare whether a company is resident for tax purposes in Kenya. So if your company hasn't been declared as a tax resident in Kenya, then it is also a non-resident company. So if you're non-resident, then you become the target of this tax on financial derivatives.
That's very interesting. And I'm sure, you know, our non-resident clients will be very keen to understand what their position is vis-a-vis this new regulation. Now, I'll just take you back because you had mentioned gain or loss earlier. And just for the audience, at what point is a gain or a loss from a financial derivative deemed to have been realized for purposes of now calculating when the tax is due by the 20th of the following month?
A gain or loss from a financial derivative is deemed to have been realized as the earlier of the underlying asset changing hands, the settlement of the contract, or the expiry of the contract. Nonetheless, when you look at an options contract, the gain or loss is deemed to have been realized at the time of payment of the option premium and at the time the option is exercised.
Okay, good. So I think an important point here will be how these contracts are negotiated or how they are awarded, because that is what will determine when the tax point arises. So Alex, a final question to you. What are the record-keeping obligations for individuals involved in financial derivatives? Obviously, there has to be some way of making sure that the taxman has access to this information. So what are their obligations?
So any person involved in a financial derivatives transaction is obliged to keep a record of all contracts and financial activities resulting from such contracts. Income from a financial derivative transaction is to be clearly characterized as other income in the tax returns for the period and be treated as a separate source of income in accordance with our Section 15(7) of the Income Tax Act. So clearly, the Revenue Authority wants you to distinguish this from your other ordinary business so that they are able to kind of pick it quickly and tax it accordingly.
Thank you so much, Alex. Just to recap, we have discussed what a financial derivative is. We've discussed this new regulation that comes into effect January 2023. We've discussed how a gain or a loss, or when a gain or a loss is determined, and when the tax is due, and how important it is to be clear in your contracts when the tax would be due. Do you have anything else to add? Closing remarks, Alex?
Without a doubt, then the taxman is keen to expand the tax base. So we've seen the government become very ambitious in terms of its targets to collect revenue. We also have a very ambitious budget looking to 2023-2024. The government is looking up to actually finance a budget of about 3.6 trillion Kenya shillings. And when you look at our tax collections, we're actually falling behind because we, based on 2021-2022, we managed to only raise 2.1 trillion Kenya shillings. So there's a huge gap that requires financing in the Kenya budget. And of course, the government is looking to taxing financial derivatives as one of the measures that they could use to reduce this gap, among other measures that we expect to come up when we have the finance bill that is expected later next month and the finance act that we'll expect later in June, July of this year. So this is an interesting space to watch with the current tax developments in Kenya. And I would encourage anyone involved in financial derivatives to consult so that they pay the tax that is due and avoid the huge penalties and interest that would normally be levied by the Kenya Revenue Authority.
Thanks so much, Alex. Do you know, just a last question, do you know how they will catch up with these non-residents? Will they look to the residents who are the other party to the derivatives to track down the non-residents who've made a gain? Do you think that's what they will do?
Yes, they'll certainly do this, because for entities that then make a loss, they would want to reduce their taxable income by reducing the loss they've made from trading in financial derivatives. So the minute they take advantage of that particular loss, it means that they'll also be putting in details of the non-resident that has made a gain on the financial derivatives. And that will be a good place for the Kenya Revenue Authority to then start looking for this non-resident person who's made a gain and ask them to remit their fair share of tax.
Thank you so much, Alex. I think for our non-resident clients and even our resident clients, if you have any further questions or queries you may have regarding this topic, how to be compliant from a tax perspective, please feel free to contact CDH Kenya and we will assist you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.